Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson. Today, I am bringing you one of the most advanced magnesium projects in the world, and that is Latrobe Magnesium. The ASX code is LM for mother, LMG. And the reason I'm keen to talk to David Paterson today, their CEO, many of you will see that in the news recently, we've seen headlines such as catastrophic Chinese magnesium shortage because the Chinese had cornered the market for a long time. So it's very exciting. I'm delighted that their chief executive officer, David Paterson, is joining me today to talk about the project, talk about the value to shareholders, and also a little bit of understanding about why we have got to this position of China pretty much having kept all the, control of the supply market, and now we are in deep doo-doo. David Paterson, somebody who knows more about the magnesium market than most people, welcome to Small Caps. Great to see you.
Thanks, Gary, for that introduction.
I just want to start off, David, by asking you, because many of our listeners might not know who Latrobe Magnesium are. So can you just give us a brief overview before we get into the detail?
Okay. As you said, the Latrobe Magnesium is a small ASX listed company. We've been around for a long time. We have had to work through our own processes because this is a first to make magnesium out of brown coal fly ash. And we've used very reputable external third parties, both in the laboratory sense and CSIRO, for example, doing all our smelter work. So we take one step at a time. We've had to also go through a Hazelwood power station shutdown, which has caused us an issue mainly because of the mineralogy that we've had to change our process for to be able to process it properly.
So let me just step back a moment and go, how do you make magnesium?
So we have two processes. One's an alkali process, mm-hmm. and one is an acid process. And the difference between the two is really the hardness or the mineralogy of the mineral in the brown coal fly ash. Every bit of brown coal fly ash is separate. They're two different processes. So in an acid process, what we do is we put hydrochloric acid and we precipitate out mag chloride, and then we turn that mag chloride into mag oxide and put that in a smelter. And because it's a mad oxide, there's no CO2 going up the stack, which is there normally is. So we're carbon friendly. And then we, as I said, we vacuum off, we heat it up to 1200 degrees C using gas, and we vacuum off the magnesium. And then the product that we have left is we actually make a Portland cement substitute.
So magnesium itself, does it only come from brown coal fly ash?
No, magnesium has never come from brown coal fly ash before.
That's what I'm trying to get my head around.
We have a patent on that, exclusive patent worldwide, wherever there's a brown coal fly ash power station.
Yep.
It normally comes from dolomite, which is the seventh most abundant mineral in on the Earth's crust.
Yep.
But what dolomite is a mag carbonate. So it's MgCO3. So every time you heat that up, what you've got to do first off when you heat it up is you release CO2. And it's a big emitter. The Chinese make 85% of the market, right. But they, on a good day, they'll emit 21 tons of CO2 per ton of mag. On a
21 tons of CO2 per one ton of mag.
Correct.
Wow. Okay. Yep.
And on a bad day, if they use coal to do it, that can grow up to, depending on the type of coal, that can go to 40 tons. So they call mag the green metal, but you've got to be very careful on the process used in the mag because the emissions at primary stage can be very high, like the Chinese. So some people like Tata Industries have come out publicly and said, we're not buying China mag because there is too much emissions in the primary product. To explain that very quickly, aluminium produces traditionally 12 tonnes of CO2 per tonne of mag. We actually, in our process, produce 10 tonnes because we use gas. So we actually have, versus the Chinese, that, as I said, on a good day, there's 21. So we're more than half of the CO2 emissions. Plus, when you put it up next to aluminium, we're not only a third lighter and we're twice as strong, but we also start our, if you like, CO2 emission reduction in a car the day one it's used, because they're producing 12 in the primary metal, we're producing 10. So automatically, it's a great product for the car business to make cars out of. They only need 5 to 6%. It's that much stronger than aluminium. They only need 5 to 6% in an aluminium sheet with aluminium to make a car panel. And that's been the big process improvement. 100% recyclable, both aluminium and mag. So it's a great material to use versus things like lithium that are bad to recycle.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, well, it's very lithium, as you, like some rare earths, can be a problem in the initial, and the recycling capacity of lithium is a lot harder.
Where do you get your supply of material from?
Well, at the moment we have Yulon, and we believe they have, based on their estimates of their landfill, they call it their ash landfill, and what they're producing until they stop in 2028, we'll have enough to supply a 30,000 ton plant of mag for 20 years. So enough for them.
Just from that one.
They're producing 300,000 tonnes per annum. Hazelwood have an ash dam, but, you know, we had an agreement with Hazelwood. We don't expect to deal with the company that owns Hazelwood at the moment, but maybe in the future when the government will own it, we might be able to, we can deal with the government. We can also bring in another feedstock that we've tested that we can use through the acid approach. So we can, without any doubt, have the sufficient resources to last a long time on our plant, and we could build it up.
You've got two technologies though, haven't you? You've got the acid and the alkaline.
Mm-hmm.
Why both, and when do you use one and not the other, and what's the difference between the two?
Big difference between the two, because yep. One's acid and one's the opposite end of the scale.
One's good and one's not so good.
Yeah. The acid approach is more expensive, but we capture all the hydrochloric acid and we recirculate it, so nothing escapes. The alkali approach is not as, isn't an acid approach, and therefore it's not aggressive is maybe the right word. It's cheaper. It does things completely differently in how we put that process together, but it's cheaper. The good thing is it's cheaper. And the thing that drives us is the mineralogy of the fly ash. If the mineralogy is too hard, you've got to use acid. If it's a softer material, then you use your alkali.
Yep.
And for example, we did alkali with Hazelwood. We've done alkali with RWE Power, who we've been dealing with since 2011. You know, the biggest power company in Germany. And and as I said, but we had to develop the acid process for dealing with the Yulon mineralogy because it is so hard, the actual fly ash.
David, you've been with Latrobe for some time now. I just want to know, from an investor point of view, why has it taken so long to get this to this point? Because right now you are two-thirds of the way through design. You look like you're going into production in 2023. So we're getting to the point again. Was it the chemistry and getting that right and getting that technology right that has taken the time up front?
Probably two things. One, it's always the chemistry and testing work that you have to do. We had to reinvent the alkali process when Hazelwood closed down because they wouldn't give us supply who we thought we were going to use. So we had to develop that acid approach. I mean, we had a little bit of a leg in because of what we're doing with the alkali, but it was really a whole new system. So that was probably the main reason. And that's, as I said, because of the different mineralogy as well. So it's really that testing just to make sure that everything is correct. Going through a pre-feasibility, feasibility study takes time.
Yep.
Engineering studies, they all take time. Done all that now, and now we're ready to go.
So when you say you're ready to go, what's the CapEx to go into construction, and where are you going to get that funding from?
We're looking at the moment 45 mil. Once the design engineering is finished, hopefully we'll drive that down to 40 mil. And we basically, because of our advanced finding and now the demonstration plan is categorised as an eligible expenditure under the R&D scheme, the federal R&D scheme, we get effectively 50% of our CapEx back. And that goes a long way to helping fund the plant. And the other 50%, we're looking at two cornerstone investors. So really 20 million. We've looked at two cornerstone investors, which would give us 10. We've got a 4 million grant sitting before the state government of Victoria. And of course, we've just raised 3 million with an option to come, we believe, which is at four cents. So that today's price would easily be exercised in 2 years. That helps us pay the back end. That helps us pay the back end of the retention. So that's really raised the other 6 million we need. So
there's no problem with the raising. You don't see that you'll have to go back to market. You've just done a raise, as you just said, at 3 million. I think that was 2.5 cents. So
correct.
They'll be happy. Because you had a really nice run on the market. What do you think drove your share price recently? Was it the headlines of the fact that China is not going to be supplying very much magnesium in the future?
That's been a major factor. I mean, I've seen there's only two companies listed in the States, and we've seen them move up. Ones are hopeful. I'll put it in that bracket. They've moved from 8 cents to 70 cents.
Goodness me. China.
And the one producer that we believe has a few capital problems at the moment, so they can't actually supply into 2022, but we're not sure. They've gone from 20 cents to 80 cents. So you've seen that China, because has driven a lot of that. We've only gone from, well, we're only 2.5 to 7. We're also telling the story now because we're at a place where we can.
Yep.
And we're conservative from that perspective, because a lot of people talk about doing things and hasn't been done, and we've been around a while. And a lot of people, I've done that in the mag industry, and I've always said I won't speak at an International Mag Association's conference until I'm building the plant or built it.
Right.
Because there has been, since we've been a member over the last 15 odd years, there has been no new mag producer in the Western world. It's all been in China.
How did we get to this point? Because now we're in a bit of trouble. As I said, potentially a catastrophic mag shortage because of what's going on. But you're, and I want people to be aware of this, because we're going into this sort of zero carbon emissions. We're going into all of these challenges with the ESG, et cetera, et cetera. But you are going to be a green product, essentially, aren't you? Because you can work it to such an extent that you're not like the Chinese magnesium producers. Yeah. You're different because of this patented technology and how you produce the mag in the end process. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's two elements to that, which are a walk-up start. Is, as I said earlier, we make, of course, mag, and we make cement. When you make mag, you usually start with a mag carbonate. We start with a mag oxide. So fundamental difference of around about 9 to 10 tons of CO2 per ton of mag. Walk up start. It's because of the feedstock. With our cement product, normally you start with lime, and it can be anywhere up to 1 ton. Australia is usually a bit more efficient than that, but it can be up to 1 ton of CO2 because it's a calcium carbonate, CaCO3. Mm-hmm. You start with lime, you heat it up, and you make your calcium oxide. We start with calcium oxide. So we don't start with those feedstocks. And it's in our feedstocks. It's embedded. We can't, you know, it's like you can't make magnesium. I remember talking to the Ash Foundation and the black coal guys were there and say, David, you're fantastic. You're going to be able to make mag out of black coal. I said, no, I can't. What, black coal fly ash? And I said, no, I can't. There's no mag in black coal fly ash. I can't put in things that aren't there.
So it's only in brown coal fly ash that you find the mag. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. Okay. Because what we're dealing with in the valley is probably in round figures, let's call it 15% mag oxide per ton of that we can get out per ton of 15% mag oxide in the fly ash to about 20. So that's what we're aiming for. And then in your lawn, it's all different. In your lawn, we make five other products. In Hazelwood, we'd make three because of what's in the fly ash. So we actually make good, we recycle 100% of the material into, you know, basically five to six products.
So you're a waste recycler. You're a waste recycler.
Yeah, very much right, Gary.
We're running out of time. Give me the numbers. We talked about the CapEx. Throw me out the numbers of when you start to produce, because of course, with a critical shortage, I'm saying, you know, obviously the magnesium price will be going up. You guys are looking at, you're a waste recycler. So from a emissions point of view, there's going to be some credits there as well. Give me the numbers for our investors out there as to what you see when you go into production.
Well, what we're looking at, we have our first plant will be just the 1,000 step. The first step will be 1,000 tons per annum. We've announced that we'd be then going with the demonstration plant to 3,000 tons. We're starting to relook at that now, and we have put out an investment presentation that has these numbers in it. So we may, because of the Chinese shortfall, we'll probably go to 10,000 tons, and we're talking an EBITDA there of some 40 million. And if you put a PE around that of 10, because we can go a lot higher, you're talking a market cap for the company of around 400 million. And at the moment, we're under 100 million. So
there you go, ladies and gentlemen. There you heard it. There's a massive expansion. They are going into production in 2023. David's got all the decks are lined up, and of course there's a critical shortage. David, we have run out of time. It's a very exciting story. The ASX code was LMG. I always finish this way, David. We spoke about it briefly. I want to know the three reasons for our investors that are listening today, three reasons why you think now is a great time for people to sit up and take a good look at Latrobe Magnesium.
Well, first off, we think we are one of the most advanced projects. There's only one other in the world where we are at the moment. So we can get on, we believe we'll be online in production in 2023. So yes, we'll be able to solve some of the issues because we think the China situation will be around for most of 2022. Secondly, the upside, as we mentioned, in relation to the finances itself. So we talked about having a walk-up start of 50% of our capital costs in the initial plant from R&D. So we have to give up our tax depreciation, but that's nothing, to get half of the cost. So all of a sudden, people get a benefit of that as well. So we think that financial plus the 10,000 tonner shows the numbers that will look solid for investors. As I mentioned earlier, that will grow very quickly because of the number of projects we have on board that can take it all 10 times higher. Then, of course, it's the CO2. As you mentioned, Kerry, we're pushing down. We'll start with half the emissions, normal industry average. Then we'll push down to hopefully 0 to 1 by using renewables. And also there's a great safety benefit in what we're doing with the waste recycling because of the ash. It is very fine. It's got silicon in it, can cause silicosis, so it's a good thing for the community. You know, it gets into people's lungs, hardens lungs.
Wow, I did not know that. Okay. So I did say we're going to finish up with that, but you just mentioned silicosis. I've got to bring it up. So with your company recycling this material, Instead of it being in the environment,
if it gets airborne, if you're ever in the valley, you'll see mainly from the power stations there is dust around. So that's one thing. If the ash ponds dry out, then if it takes to the air, then that can happen again. So, you know, there's a community benefit as well as a jobs for the valley, of course. But, you know, I'll say that as an afterthought, but of course that's where everyone's heading today as well. And it's a great business because we see there's a lot of other uses of just not automobiles. There's hydrogen storage, there's a whole lot of battery storage that they're doing in the States. There's a whole lot of other uses, and we believe adjunct businesses that can form around us because we're the primary metal.
And you'll be the primary supplier. And ladies and gentlemen, they're not a miner. They're a waste recycler, which can only be good as we head into this very strong ESG, environmental, social governance, and all the things that surround that. David Patterson, CEO of La Trobe Magnesium. I can't wait to speak to you again early next year and see how you're going, because this shortage of supply is not going away. Thanks so much, Barry, for joining us on Small Caps today.
Okay, thank you.